Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in June, Iran will elect a new president. Few Americans will mourn the departure of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who must leave because of term limits. As it happens, a Rutgers University professor has declared his candidacy to be president of Iran and joins us now. His policies include no Iranian nuclear weapons program. Hushang Amirahmadi is director of the Center for Middle Eastern Studies at Rutgers and president of the American-Iranian Council, a group of Iranian Americans. Dr. Amirahmadi, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And I guess
just one point. I am not director of the program anymore. I'm a former director of the Center for Middle Eastern Studies.
Fair enough. I stand corrected. And I guess I should point out to our listeners that you've lived in the United States since 1975, and you tried to run for president of Iran against Ahmadinejad in 2005, but you were not allowed to because of your longtime residency here. Do you have reason to believe that this time will be different?
My hope is that it will be different. First, Iran has changed tremendously since 2005. The country is suffering from domestic factional infighting, is suffering from tremendous economic malaise, and the relation with the U.S., West as a whole, has gone too far toward, a conflict.
Are you having trouble hearing? Do we need
yes,
to turn
I
up
have.
Your headphones
I
for
don't,
you?
There is no sound.
No
here.
Volume in your headphones, so maybe you can help him with that. We're getting that adjusted right now. And we'll get into the issues that Iranians care about, but the biggest Iranian issue that Americans care about is nuclear weapons. Do you think Iran should develop nuclear weapons?
No, I don't think so. I think the nuclear weapon technology, first, is a very old, 70 years old technology. I think the future is cyber warfare. It's not. I think the next war will not be the war with nuclear, but cyber stuff. So beyond that, I think that nuclear technology is a waste for a country like Iran, where you have the fourth largest oil reservoir and the second largest gas reservoir. So I think Iran could do better. The problem, however, is that the United States has not looked at its problem carefully. You cannot sanction a country on its oil and gas and then at the same time expect that country don't go nuclear energy. I think if I was the United States, I would have taken sanctions on oil and gas, but then at the same time force Iran to give up on the nuclear energy.
Now, you're talking about nuclear energy. The current government in Iran denies that they have a nuclear weapons program, says only that they're developing nuclear for energy. Do you acknowledge or believe that they are trying to develop nuclear weapons today?
I don't think so. I don't believe so. Iran's leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei, has said that that's not what they are trying to do, and I tend to believe him. He's a religious man. I don't think that he's lying. He cannot. But beyond that, I believe the problem between U.S. and Iran is a trust problem. There's just no trust whatsoever. And as long as that lack of trust exists, no side is going to believe on the other.
As president of Iran, would you then pursue a thawing of relations with the United States?
I will do my best to mend relations within the first 100 days.
What would you do to build trust among Americans?
First, I have lived in this country for 40 years, and I have been working for 27 years on U.S.-Iran relations. I have great friends in Washington, here and elsewhere, and also I'm the man who understands both languages and know the culture. I know when they say A, what they mean, and when they say B, what they mean, on both sides. So I think I can build that trust very quickly.
Do you think you have a willing and able partner for this in President Obama?
I'm sure I do. President Obama means well. I don't think that President Obama has decided that the relation between U.S. and Iran should ever be conflictual. In fact, he has tried in the past, and I think he is ready to move forward. The problem, obviously, is not just in Washington, in Tehran as well as elsewhere. The U.S. The unfortunate fact is that the U.S.-Iran relation has very few friends and as many enemies as you want.
My guest is Rutgers Middle East Studies professor Hussein Amir Ahmadi. He is hoping to be allowed to run for president of Iran, his home country, in this year's election. They are electing a new president this year. If you're just joining us, we mentioned earlier that Ahmadinejad is term limited out. May I ask, are you a practicing Muslim?
I am a Muslim. I don't know what by practicing you mean, but I am a Muslim, and I am very proud of being a Muslim. I think Islam is a good religion. There are obviously every religion has people that are bad and people who are great. I mean, we are all cultures are very diverse.
Well, what do you think about the degree to which Iran is a theocracy since the revolution in 1979? Would you use that word?
Yeah, Iran is a theocracy. I will use that term. Yes, I think. I think it's unfortunate that modern Iran should be forced into moving in that direction. You know, Iran has had a constitutional revolution back in 1906, and after 70 some years of struggle for a better society, Iran eventually had to move into a theocracy. I think we have to look into it and actually find out why Iran should be a theocracy in the 21st century.
So you, as president, would try to take Iran in a more secular direction?
Well, first, I am working within the system. I'm not. I consider myself the Deng Xiaoping of Iran, that I am not in a position to change the system, and I will not be in a position to do so. What I will do is to change the country, to change the economy, foreign policy, politics. But as far as the system goes, it's up to the Iranian people.
So when you say the Deng Xiaoping of Iran, that means like he moved away from the extremes of Mao and China, but without replacing the basic form of government.
That is true.
But wouldn't that mean that the Ayatollah Khamenei, who is much more powerful than whoever the sitting president is, would continue to be that and could impose the same theocratic laws and values that are in place today?
Well, there are two points here. First, Ayatollah Khamenei's powers within the Constitution are also limited. He does not have unlimited power. He also has to be elected by a body called Assembly of Experts, and Assembly of Experts is elected by the people. That's number one. So there are limits on that power. And second, Ayatollah Khamenei is not supposed to, and he usually doesn't, get involved in daily operations of the executive branch. And I think if you have a president that is intelligent, that is knowledgeable, that knows how to work within the system, he could do a lot. I believe he could.
Many people think Ahmadinejad's 2009 election was stolen. Do you?
I don't. I don't believe that it was stolen. I think there was certainly tremendous problems. The elections in Iran have had tremendous difficulties, and there has been cheating. There is no question whatsoever. And I don't believe that the cheating was to the extent that Ahmadinejad would have not been elected, but there certainly was cheating.
How good a president do you think Ahmadinejad has been?
His glass is half full. I think Ahmadinejad has done terribly in international relations and some economic policies. But I am particularly critical of his views of Israel and the way he talked about Holocaust and Israel. I think he tried in a contradictory way to to come close to the U.S. He is the first Iran's president to send a congratulating note to President Obama, Iran's the U.S.'s president, when he got reelected or elected. But he didn't get much in the way because he had messed up that relationship in the first few years of his administration, particularly in relation to Israel.
My guest, if you're just joining us, is Rutgers Middle East Studies professor Hushang Amir Ahmadi, who hopes to be running for president of his country of origin, Iran, in this year's elections. So we've talked about Iranian issues of importance to Americans. What do you see as the main issues in the presidential race for the people of Iran?
The top issue is economics. The economy is suffering tremendously from unemployment, inflation. The rial, the Iranian currency, has plunged. And that means that the value or the prices of even necessities have gone up tremendously from 30 to, in some cases, 200%. So that's number one. Second, I think the Iranian people also understand that this economic problem will not easily be resolved as long as U.S.-Iran relation remains conflictual. So the most another important aspect of that whole process is U.S.-Iran relations. And finally, I think, unfortunately, inside the regime, within the factions, there is infighting. And that infighting has created tremendous inconsistencies, mismanagement situation for not just the economy, but for other branches of the society. So there are three basic problems that this election faces, or the Iran faces in this election. The factional infighting, U.S.-Iran conflict, and economic malaise. And I think these three problems require a person that could build bridges among the factions, that could make peace with the U.S. and could manage the economy better. So you need a bridge builder, a peacemaker, and a good economic manager who knows the global situation. And that's me.
After the 2009 elections, partly because there was a perception that the election may have been stolen, there were a lot of protests around the country. That was 2 years before the Arab Spring. Do you think the Arab Spring could become the Persian Spring after this election, that the people will rise up even more, depending on how clean they see the election to be?
Yes. First, I think the Arab Spring is going to have a long, protracted life. I think that situation is not going to settle for at least another 20 years, I would say. The societies have been closed and they have been run in a particular way. Now things are changing. And I think before that boss can get the right driver, it will take some time. I think Iran has been a trendsetter in the Middle East for at least a century. Okay, from the Constitutional Revolution to the nationalization of oil to the Islamic Revolution, Iran has always been a trendsetter.
But it's lagging today, one could argue, in terms of the people's revolutions.
Well, actually, I think the Iranian reform movement is not dead. It's out there. I think the reform movement is very alive. I think we make a mistake, the reform movement, with the reformers. Obviously, the reformers may not be in place, or they may not be as legitimate as they used to be, but the reform movement is as legitimate as it has ever been.
Iran currently is a main ally of Assad in Syria, as the country has long been. Would you change that?
Absolutely. I think Assad has to go. I think that family has been around for 40-some years. It's too long. I think the Syrian people need a better deal. Unfortunately, however, those who are opposing Assad are not always the right people. And see, the problem with the society is that this dictators stay out too long, and when they are replaced, they are not usually replaced by the right people, because the right people are destroyed by the dictators themselves. So there is no right alternative. The alternative left are the alternatives that have not been destroyed, and they are not the right ones usually.
We have about 1 minute left, and I want to ask you, teaching Middle East studies at Rutgers, what do you find are American students' biggest misconceptions about Iran?
Well, first, they think Iran is an Arab country, and they think that...
Which it's not.
That which is not. They usually think that all Iranians are Muslim, which is not. And they think that all Iranians are terrorists, which is not. Well, so I think...
That's quite a starting point.
Yeah, it's a very... it's unfortunate, but I think there is a lot of misperception about not just Iran, the Middle East as a whole, and Islam as a whole. It's just unfortunate that our universities, Middle Eastern centers, should lag behind a good teaching of our kids.
And if you're permitted to run, you're going to move back there?
I would have to go back. Of course, I will have to go back there, and I will be back there.
When will you know, if you can?
Well, after I become president.
When will you know if you're officially allowed to be on the ballot?
No, that will be on... the Iranian election has three points. I think on May 7, there is a registration. I will be registering officially. And then on May 15 to 20, the Guardian Council will decide.
Will rule.
Okay.
Hushang Amirahmadi, Middle East Studies professor at Rutgers, hoping to be the next president of Iran. Thank you very much.
And my pleasure, and thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.